So, yeah, I just remember, you know, just texting Brian and stuff, you know, he's like, you know, would you mind, you know, filling in? And I'm like, yeah, of course, man, you know, like, I got you and stuff. And, you know, like, ever since I've said I will, like, you know, I've been, like, getting beat up pretty good, you know, like, you hit into the spiritual warfare. And, you know, my wife's like, well, you did start preaching, you know, and I'm like, oh, wow, that does work like that, doesn't it, you know? But, you know, even then, you know, I think about the story of Job, and, you know, of course, nobody would ask for any of that stuff to happen to him. But, you know, one thing I always think now, especially when I think about that story, when I'm going through anything, I like to think of this, and this is worth coming to church for, is to think about the devil before he did anything to Job or his family. What did he have to do? He had to go up there and ask God. And so when I think about that story, I'm like, you know what? Whatever I go through, the devil's got to go up there and ask for permission to do anything. And so whatever he allows, you can go to the end of the story, right? Job was twice as blessed at the end as he was at the beginning, you know? So I was trying to keep that in mind, that no matter what I'm going through, the devil's got to beg. Now, you want to make sure he has to beg, because sometimes you do, you know, you're in trouble because of your own stupidity, you know? Like, you don't get to blame that one on God, you know? And I got plenty of those, too. You know, I'm like, I mean, my prayer is always, Lord, I don't mind suffering, but just, you know, let me not do a whole lot of suffering because of my own dumb, you know, stupidity type stuff. But just the way the Lord works things out is amazing. And I wrote a song a while back, like 20-something years ago. But I had the music written for the longest time. I never could write any music to any words. And I went to this funeral of this lady who had just lost her son. And, you know, like, I knew her pretty well, but she when I got there, when I got up front, I mean, she just held on to me for so long. And just, you know, and I could tell, like, just for a minute, you know, like, I felt like she was hugging her son, you know, because she was hugging me like she would hug her son, you know, she saw. And I went to the back of the church, and I turned the little bulletin over, and I grabbed a pencil off the pew, and I wrote the words to this song. So if you're going through, like, an insane whatever in your life right now, it's kind of like why I wrote the song. Lord, I don't know how you work things out. I guess it ain't for me to understand. And I don't know everything that your word talks about. I can't explain the touch of your hand. But you know where you lead me, I'll try to go. Won't you help me to always know that you got it, you got it, you got it in control, and you got it, Lord, your son you did send, and you got it, you got it in control, and it all works out, it all works out in the end. So many questions I could ask you today, but they would not make me see. I'll never understand your infinite way. Oh, but Lord, stay close to me. And you know where you lead me, I'll try to go.
Won't you help me to always know that you got it, you got it, you got it in control, and you got it, you got it, Lord, your son, you did sin, and you got it, you got it, you got it in control, and it all works out, it all works out in the end. And Lord, I'm just trying, I'm trying to understand why it takes all of this, Lord, just to make it to the promised land. But you know where you lead me, I'll try to go. Won't you help me to always know that you got it, you got it. You got it in control, and you got it. You got it, Lord, your son, you did sin. And you got it, you got it. Got it in control, and it all works out. It all works out. And it all works out. It all works out. You know it all works out. It all works out in the end.
I didn't plan to.
But the Lord did.
The Lord did it. It's all me to sing. I got it. I got this. God says I got this. Don't worry, I got this. Oh, it's been 3 or 4 years ago. Janie, her intestines started leaking inside. And it turned out I was going to Greenville, and she says, I can't make it. We went into Oconee. Turned out that Dr. Lee was there. And he did emergency surgery on Jamie. And he said after that that she wouldn't make it to Greenville. But anyway, Renee was with me. She was in surgery, and I was pacing the floor, back and forth, just like that. And all of a sudden, this peace come over me. And you know what he said to me? He said, I got this. I got this.
Amen.
Janie is healthy, very healthy. And it turned out that I'm a Vietnam veteran. Dr. Lee was a son of a Vietnam, South Vietnamese officer in the Vietnam War. God works things out. No matter what you're going through, just listen. When he says, I got this, I got this, he's working. He's working on your behalf. Thank you.
Amen. Nice. That's awesome, guys. I don't think I've played it in about 20 years. So there you go. Actually, it's not true. I recorded it. So I got a little CD of all of my little songs that I've written. It's about 11 songs, but hopefully by the end of the year, you know, I'll have that. But that one is one of my favorites that's on it. And, you know, I go back and listen. You know, I wrote these when I was a new Christian for the most part. And, you know, the song's not technically, you know, theologically correct. You know, I don't think it works out, you know, for everybody in the end. I think it's Romans 8:28, that all things work for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You know, so sometimes, you know, the reason bad things happen is because you're making terrible decisions. You know, that's the reason, you know, God's put. And I say that. I hate when I have to do it. If I counsel people and, you know, and like somebody's just, I don't want to give any example because it might be too close. But, you know, like, well, I got this and the devil's just after me. And I'm like, man, the devil ain't got nothing to do with that. That's all you. You know, because you do have three enemies, and this is not my sermon. I better get rolling. It's probably been, oh, I'll see you next week. We'll finish it out. But you know, you have three enemies. You have your own flesh. And I don't know about you, but mine just gravitates toward just poor decisions. And I'm like, what was I thinking, you know? And it's your flesh. And you also have the world, just the way the world works. You know, just get on any social media platform, and what are you going to find? Just toxicity, man, just dying to say, come on in this world and let's talk about people, you know? Just, you see, you got yourself, you got the world, and you got the Satan, that roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. You've got those three enemies, and you need to make sure you classify which one of these it is. Because if it's you, you need to fix it. If it's the world, you need to separate yourself from it for a while and get in this word and get in prayer. And if it is the devil, you get by yourself and you pray out loud and you rebuke him. By the power of the blood, by the power, we give the devil so much credit. Because if you ask anybody, what is the opposite of God? Everybody will say, and that is not true. That ain't even close to true. God is omniscient. He can hear prayers all around the world at the same time in different language. He sees all corners of the earth. He sees it all, and he knows he is all-knowing. He can create. The devil can't create anything. All he can take is what God has made, and he tries to corrupt it. That's all he does. So anybody tells you the opposite of God is the devil, here's your argument. The best credit you can give the devil, this is the highest credit you can give, is his opposite is Michael, Gabriel, the archangel, right? That's like he was a created being, and that's the best he's going to get. And don't give him credit thinking that he can hear your prayers. I think a lot of people do some rebuking in their heads, like, get away from me, devil, in their head. He don't know what you're saying. He don't know what you're thinking. Don't give him that kind of credit. When you need to rebuke him, you do it like we're doing right here. Devil, I command you in the name of Jesus, by the power of his blood, that you get out of this. You get out of this situation. You get out of my house. You get out of my life. You get out of all of this. This is not where I was going with this. But here's the deal. Can you find that scripture? The devil is a roaring lion. Is it 2 Peter 5 something? If that's right, I'm like, I'm going to pat myself on the back. just try to find it. Because here's the deal. A roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So we'll do the little Bible drills competition. When somebody finds it, you can read it, or when it comes up on the screen, we'll read it. I don't think this has ever happened. I've never just gotten up here and completely like just.
1 Peter chapter 5.
1 Peter 5. All right.
Verse 8.
All right. 1 Peter 5, 8. All right. I've got it right here. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, I don't know if you ever watched these like nature shows and where these animals like, you know, just hunting other, you know, animals down. Which animal does the lion always seem to get?
The weakest.
Okay? The weakest. So when you say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The only sheep that truly do not want are the ones right there with the shepherd. I mean, they are so close. Because the shepherd's rod and the shepherd's staff are to comfort the flock. When a sheep is so close to the shepherd, they cannot stray away from him too far. Because here's what's happened. And this is such a lesson for me and you. And we should always be evaluating, how close am I to the shepherd? Because I don't know about you, but as for me, especially as a young Christian following the Lord, like, I get close to the shepherd and I get away. Well, I can still see him. Well, at least he's still right there. Oh, I can't. And I find myself being a goat. And what does a goat do at the fence? I mean, they get over that fence trying to eat. They get through here and eat, and then they can't come back through. And like, so many times I think about, like, I'm like, I'm the goat. And I don't mean the greatest of all time. I mean the goat over at the fence with his head stuck trying to get something out of bounds that the shepherd never intended for me. Never. Because he leads me beside still waters. But the goats are over here drinking out of mud holes with pests in them and all that kind of stuff. And man, you start applying that to your marriage. You start trying that to the people that you hang out with. God, man, he's got this whole, this pure thing that he desires for you. But goats were over here drinking out of, you know, the mud holes and just chewing grass. They say if a shepherd does not move his sheep and they stay in one spot, they'll just keep eating that grass until it gets the roots, until it's just bare ground. And then it just becomes hard ground that nothing will grow on it. But the shepherd, when he leads them, he's already prepared a field for you over here. And he leads you away from this in enough time so that this can grow back. And when you come back, you can eat from it and you can enjoy it. The shepherd knows what he is doing. And it's this rod and staff that comforts us. And why? Because he won't let us get too far away. It's what happened to your GPS system yesterday. You were close to the shepherd and he took his staff and said, no, I don't want you to go that way. There's trouble. There's danger. There's wolves. People acting like they got your best interest in mind, but they don't. So we want to be a sheep. We want to be lambs that stay close to him. Because why? We're walking with the shepherd. We know he's got us. I shall not want. As long as I hang out with this guy, I don't want for food. I don't want for rest. I don't have to worry about enemies coming after me. As long as I stay close to the shepherd. Because as soon as I see that shiny thing on the other side of the fence, I go, ooh. And he takes that staff and goes, no. And I'm right back in line if I'm staying close to the shepherd. And he uses this staff. I mean, you read about this. Man, they say that a staff of a shepherd could totally just, I mean, anything within like 20 yards. I mean, man, he can launch that thing and hit anything in the back of the head, no problem. So any enemy that comes after me, if I'm close to the shepherd, no chance. No chance at bothering me. But the lion, the one that Satan is coming after, it's so easy for him to get the one wedged in the fence. He can't go anywhere. And that goat, if it's a person that we're representing here, does not get to say, well, where was God? Where was the shepherd? He was over there in the green pastures. He was over there leading his flock. You were over here trying to get something out of bounds and your head got stuck. And the enemy turns around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So no wonder it says, be sober. Hey, I've already lost it. It was chapter 5, verse 8. Be alert and of sober mind. Guys, it's very important. You know, like I talked about last week, okay? We talked about other people should be the ones calling you a Christian. We've got this culture, and it never took place in the Bible. It never took where people said, I'm a Christian. In fact, I think the closest you'll get is that people said they followed the way. I think if you read the Bible, I follow the way. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Acts 11, 25 through 26, last week we talked about and we mentioned that others should call you a Christian by the way that you live. And in today's world, I believe that that just looks like staying close to the shepherd. Because it seems like we live in a world where everybody says they're Christians. And guys, here's always my test. All right, I'm a Christian. Okay, why are you going to heaven? And so many times they say what? Because I'm a good person. I'm like, do you know this word? There is no one good. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's no one good. So a Christian that tells me they're going to heaven because they're good, that's a red flag for me, because there is no one good according to the word. So a real Christian, okay? I'm a Christian. Why are you going to heaven? And they start talking. They start saying, man, I was a wretch. I was disobedient to my parents. I like dove into everything that I knew I was not supposed to. I was mischievous. I watched things online that I never should have looked at, and I just delved into that whole world. I was mean. I was angry. I took it out. Wait a minute. Stop. I just said you're a Christian. You said you were going to heaven, and I said, why? And you start telling me how bad you were. That's right. I'm not finished, because I could go down deep into that hole of why, you know, there's no way I don't deserve heaven. But I will tell you what happened. There was that moment in time where I sat in that service, where somebody took the time to come out and share Jesus with me. For me, it was a youth pastor that came and picked me up at my best friend's house, and he drove me to Stamp Creek Landing, and he sat there, and he told me that all about, you know, how to be saved, and I prayed with him right there. Why are you going to heaven, Adam? Because there is a God who left heaven and came down and died on a cross and shed his blood so that any human who ever will repent and ask for forgiveness can do so, and they will be saved. I'm going to heaven. Any Christian is going to heaven because the shepherd made a way for us to go to heaven. That's the answer. Any other answer is insufficient. It's insufficient. So, all right, I'm going to try to get on track here. I mean, I'm like, whew, okay. But I'm still close to the shepherd, just so y'all know. All right, so I'm going to start this anyway. So pull up the title of my sermon here. So I called this Cast the Net on the Other Side. And last week, I talked about moving the stone, rolling the stone away. And God will ask us to do certain things and that we can totally do. And if we do those things, it opens up the door for him to do what only he can do. Am I just not working? Cast the net on the other side. Okay, go to my first scripture here. So let us stop going up. Now, I started this way because my Bible reading yesterday. This was just what showed up in my normal Bible reading. And I got to thinking about our world and everything I was going to talk about. Let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Okay, now this is why. He says, let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. And he says, now this, he's talking to Hebrews. Now, I always say, if you ever hear me say this is Paul. I know we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but to me, it's always Paul, you know. But and so if I ever say that, I do know. So I'll refer you back to this day. Surely, we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. Now, we live in a world where we need those things. We need the fundamental teachings of God. You got a group in all the churches, one group needs to advance from the fundamental teachings of God. And then you got another group that think they've advanced, but they need to back to this right here. You don't, and he's saying you don't need further instructions. But we got a group of people that do need further instructions about baptisms. Because here's why I would say that is I ask people once again, like just like the question, why are you going to heaven? Because I'm a good person. Terrible answer. Okay. I say this. Well, when did you get saved? And most people will say, I got baptized at this point in time. And I'm like, well, I didn't ask when you got baptized. I asked when you got saved. And they do not know the difference. We live in a world where a lot of people think if they choose to go get in the baptism pool, that's salvation. People do need instructions about this. Baptism is what you do in obedience after you get saved, after you repent, after you turn from your wicked ways. We do need this. We do need instructions on the laying on of hands. Because when things are serious, guys, when you need serious prayer, I do like the prayers when you're meditating with God and you say, remember Adam. Thank you. I appreciate that. But when I'm really in need, I want some men of God to surround me, and I want you to pray out loud and say, devil, get your hands off of this man. I want the whole Holy Spirit-filled deal, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead. You know, we need to know that the dead in Christ will rise first. We need to read these things, and we need to know what happens, that eternal judgment, that on our last day, when we draw our last breath, that we will stand before the Lord, and we will be judged, and we'll stand before the King of Kings, and it'll just be us and Him. You know, we do need to know those things. And then the last verse, and so God willing, we will move forward to further our understanding. And guys, it's what I'm doing. I don't want y'all to think that I come up here and I am some expert on the Bible. Guys, I am just a dude trying to live this stuff out for real. I am trying to take as many people to heaven with me. I'm trying to find the lost people of the lost and say, man, there is a God that will turn your entire life around and save you. I am trying. I can tell you probably about more failures than successes, but I am trying to move forward in my understanding. So when I get a group and I need to teach the basics, I will teach the basics. When I get a group and I need to teach further understanding, and I will teach further understanding as far as I know it. That's all I can do. I've been following the Lord 32 years. You know, some of y'all probably be like, oh, that's all? I've been following the Lord for 50, you know, all that. I've just been trying. So go to the next little part. I will get through this little part right here for sure. And then I'll probably finish it next week. That's what I said last week, didn't I? So are you a disciple of the Lord? Do you follow Him? You know, once again, I'm a Christian, and America can mean 100 different things from 100 different people. That's just the way it is, okay? I didn't ask for it to be that way. I wish it was universal that saying I'm a Christian, which means I deny myself, I take up the cross, and I follow Jesus, okay? And that's what Jesus' requirement is. If you would desire to come after me, you got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That, to me, is the definition of a Christian, okay? But like I told you before, you know, when a guy tells me that he's a Christian and he knows the Bible like the back of his hand, I'll say, how many books are in the Bible? Well, I don't know. Like, then you don't know it like the back of your hand, all right? And, you know, once again, nobody really knows the back of their hand anyway. But one day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the Word of God. That's what we're doing right here, man, just listening to the Word of God, reading it. I mean, there's nothing better that a group of people can do. So he noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen have left them and were washing their nets. Now, that's a detail of the story that I think is important. They were packing up. And I don't know how big these nets were, but I imagine washing them and drying them off and getting them to a spot where they could lay there and not rot, you know, was probably a big deal. They were packing up. And they were ready to go home. So let's think about this at our job or in school even. That, you know, you've worked all day. You're wrapping everything up. And you're like, it is time to go home. Okay? So stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. So, you know, they've already packed everything up, listening to the teaching of Jesus, which is what Christians love to do every Sunday. Just sit and listen and soak in the Word, and let's go home and let's get on with our work week. But when he finished speaking, he said to Simon, go out where it's deeper and let down your nets. Now, don't go to the next slide yet. Let down your nets to catch some fish. I believe this happens every Sunday that we sit in there. We listen to some powerful preaching. We listen and the Holy Spirit comes. And the Holy Spirit says, now, go do something. All right? And we do the same thing Peter does. Watch this. Go to the next one. Master, Simon replied. Oh, you're the Lord, you know. We worked hard all night. I've already worked, man. I've already done this. I didn't catch anything. Okay, I worked, and it was super unproductive. It was terrible. I'm ready to go home. Please, don't make me do something, okay? That's the American mentality. I don't care who you are. It's just the way it is. I'm working like four jobs right now and really just taking advantage that nobody else really wants to work. So that's what I get to do. But here's what I like. He is not doing this because he feels like it, right? It's not like, oh, you, because I don't know about you, but he's never asked me to do something crazy easy. You know, like yeah, if he says, play a song, you know, right here in church, sure, no problem. But sometimes I'll be like at a restaurant or like at a bar playing music, and he'll say, play Awesome God. And I'm like, surely you don't want me to do that right here, you know? Like I might get beat up for something. But you know what? Every time I've obeyed his voice, I get somebody from the crowd that says, I can tell you're a Christian. Will you pray for me? And I say every time, a lot of the time, it's just amazing the way people will come up and talk and remember things about church and remember the times when they were with God and remember these things. And I'm just like, Lord, you're amazing. He's not going to do it at a time when you're like, sure, no problem. You're always going to do just like him. Oh, Lord, come on. But here's what I like. Since you say so, since you tell me to, I'm only doing this because I read it in here. So if you say so, I will let down the nets again. This time, Now, don't go to the next slide just yet. And this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. Wow, Lord, when I did this your way, when I did it, when you told me to, I got this insane blessing. Like, oh, really? Really? Like the Lord saying, well, I didn't expect that. You know, of course he expected that. But here's what I love about this is the response, okay? Most people not following the Lord get this response and they say, oh, I'm blessed. I'm going to go sell all these fish now and pay off my bills. The Lord's really hooked me up here. He's done all this. But you have got to see Peter's response because I was so blown away. Go to the next verse. A shout for help brought their partners into the boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. Next verse. So this is how much. Now, when Simon Peter realized what happened, go here. Peter is saying, I didn't want to obey this guy. I did not want to throw my nets back out. And look what happened. And look at this. I love this response. Nobody said, if you don't accept Jesus right there, you're going to hell. You know, if you don't do this, nobody did any of that. All that Jesus did was be insanely good to him, told him to work in a little different way. He was insanely blessed, and Peter recognizes that something happened right here that is just not normal. And I love this. He fell to his knees before Jesus and said, Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. Nobody told him about his sin. Nobody jumped on him about the way he was living, the way he talks. Nobody. But this causes him to get on his knees and do that. And I'm going to tell you about just this insanely powerful time in my life. And I hate to end this when I'm just getting started, okay? But guys, I don't know about you. But I probably had a decade where I would do the same sins, the same ones. And I'd go on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and I would hit the altars and I'd say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. And I mean for 10 years, I bet I did the same thing. And one day, I just fished a little bit different. Instead of fishing on the same side of the boat and going to the altar and saying the same thing, here's one thing that I did. I went to that altar and I said, Lord, I've been saying the same thing for a long time, but I like my sin and you don't like my sin. And if you don't change me, I'm not going to change. And man, I just thought of the cross. I thought just for a moment how every time I asked for forgiveness for this same sin, that Jesus was on the cross there taking my sin. And I just imagine my sin hurting him. And I imagine him taking that sin, 10 years worth of the same old sin, and me just throwing it on him and hurting him even more. And for the first time in my life, I didn't want to hurt him anymore. And it changed everything. And when I went and I read the Bible and I saw that it was his kindness that leads you to repentance, we got to see a story of it right there. It was not Jesus talking about hell. It was not Jesus talking about judgment. Jesus was just really, really good to this man named Simon. And it caused Simon to hit his knees and say, I am such a sinful man. You've got to get away from me. I'm in the presence of holiness and you don't need to be around me right now. And it's the worst thing that sin does to all of us. It shrinks God and it makes him like us. And sometimes when I just feel like I go in there and I say, Lord, do this and do that for me and all that. When I really get into his presence and his holiness. I just feel like all week I've walked into his house and took my muddy shoes and put them on his couch and just propped myself up. And I say, Lord, I'm so sorry for treating you like that. You are holy. You are mighty. And your blood has saved me. And I'm in the presence of God. His goodness will cause you to see yourself like that. And look at Jesus' response. Go to the next verse. He was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as there were others with them. His partners, James and John, son of Zebedee, they were also amazed. Keep going. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid." Every time somebody gets in the presence of God in the Bible, you will find these words. So the next time somebody tells you that when they get to heaven, they got some questions they're going to ask God, he's got some explaining to do. Listen, you ain't going to do nothing, okay? You're going to have him saying, don't be afraid. It's all good, because you're not going up there and telling him to answer your questions, okay? But look at this. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. So guys, I just want to end this by saying God is incredibly good. Anything that he asks you to do, and you know it's from him, first thing I want you to know is that it is absolutely okay for you to say, oh my goodness, are you sure? I don't know about all that. Absolutely okay, because Peter did it, okay? We have these stories in the Bible for a reason. But I will also say that when you do it, whether the nets get full or not, sometimes you will do it and the nets won't get full. And he's still good. He still teaches you through it all. It's okay. Follow Jesus, because he's the greatest thing that this world has to offer. So I will end. I'll do the little, what do we call it? Invitation. All right. I should know that. All right. All right. So, I got to tell you what happened one time. Is I was playing at my aunt and uncle's brewery on a Sunday afternoon, and there was nobody there. I mean, it was outside. It was beautiful, and for the first hour, nobody was there. And they, of course, gave me the option to, just go ahead and pack it up and go on home. But I said, you know what? I got everything set up. I'm right here. I'm going to play songs for the Lord, okay? And so I sat there, and I just worshiped outside on a day pretty much just like this and everything. But here's the song that I played last, and I got to tell you what happened after this. But it goes like this. Find me here, speak to me. I want to feel you. I need to hear you. You are the light that's leading me to the place where I find peace again. You are the strength that keeps me walking. You are the hope that keeps me trusting. You are the life to my soul. You are my purpose. You're everything. How can I stand here with you and not be moved by you? Would you tell me how could it be any better than this? Oh. You calm the storms. You give me rest. You hold me in your hands. You won't let me fall. You steal my heart. You take my breath away. Would you take me in and take me deeper now? And how can I stay here with you and not be moved by you? Would you tell me how could it be any better than this? How can I stand here with you and not be moved by you? Would you tell me how could it be any better than this? 'Cause you're all I want, you're all I need, you're everything, everything. 'Cause you're all I want, you're all I need, you're everything, everything. 'Cause you're all I want, you're all I need, you're everything, everything. And how can I stand here with you and not be moved by you? Would you tell me how could it be any better than this? Oh. How can I stand here with you and not be moved by you? You tell me how could it be any better than this? And Lord, I want to offer up the prayer right now, Lord, that we have been in your presence. Even though I have been all over the place today, Lord, I know that you can use this word because we opened up your word and you got people in here that want to follow you. So, Lord, show us what nets to cast out on the other side of the boat. Show us the things, Lord. And when we give you attitude and we just kind of say, oh, but Lord, Lord, just please be patient with us, just like you did with Peter. And Lord, help us to obey. And when we do obey and you do such great and mighty works, may we not take any credit at all. May we do just like Peter and hit our knees and say, you are the great God. You do so much. Thank you for giving me a little part, even if it was a little part that I really didn't want to do. I did my part, Lord, and you opened up the floodgates of heaven. There's no one like you, Lord. And I thank you for just that song right there, that you are everything. And I thank you for that man that came out from around the building after drinking too much and saying, that song drew me so close to the Lord. I can't believe I just heard you over here playing it. I want to get back into church. Will you pray for me? I want to leave the life that I'm living. Lord, you can do anything. You can do everything. And Lord, just the fact that you let us have a small part in it is absolutely amazing. My prayer, Lord, this week, as we go about our business, you'll show which stones we can move away so that you can step in and raise the dead. And Lord, I pray that you'll show us where to do our jobs a little bit differently than we've been doing it, because we hadn't had any success, and we'll do it like you tell us to, and we'll catch so many fish, metaphorically speaking, Lord, that we just say, we serve the greatest God. I can't believe he lets me be a part of his plan. May the Holy Spirit rest upon us, and may you bless us and keep us and make your face shine upon us and be gracious to us in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys are dismissed. I'm sorry I kept you in overtime a little bit. All right. When football games go in overtime, you don't complain. I do, because I'm ready to go to sleep.
Couldn't help but think of Job, you know, when he says, if I can just talk to God, if I can, when God appears to him, he says, I don't have
a clue, Lord. I'm so